Ben Golliver covers the NBA for the Washington Post as the NBA gears up for a resumption of its season, and he joins us now. Ben, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Oh, well, we're excited about the return of the NBA season. You know, today that may change, obviously, in the next couple of weeks. But I guess we'll start there. I mean, has this train left the station in the sense that you've announced a return, you've released the protocols? I mean, is there any turning back for the NBA at this juncture, Ben?
No, I don't think so. And I know there was some concerns from some players last week, obviously coming out publicly, whether it's Kyrie Irving or Dwight Howard, and you know, to me, that was kind of a touch-and-go moment for this entire situation, but I think the NBA actually handled it fairly well this week. You know, Adam Silver's on national TV Monday, I think extending olive branches, making it very clear he's open to working with the players to make sure that they feel like their vision of these protests is going to be, you know, a part of the experience down there in Orlando, and then they had the rollout with what life will be like in the bubble, and then what the games will be like from a health and safety standpoint, and I think, frankly, their protocols from the health side are so thorough. I mean, they're breaking it down to almost every single aspect of these guys' lives that I think that will help give not only the players but also a lot of basketball viewers and media members too a peace of mind about you know, the fact that the NBA has tried to do everything possible to put this thing on safely. It just seemed very process oriented, very detailed, and I expect you know, a vast majority of players are going to show up next week when they have to return and report to their teams.
Well, that's the thing, Ben, I was going to add. If you've agreed to show up, right, and you're doing all the idea that we'd have some folks maybe trying to, you know, bring folks into the bubble that aren't supposed to be there, you know, whatever you need that anonymous tip line for, or try to leave the bubble. If you've agreed to go down and a guy like LeBron is doing it the right way, right, he's staying in his room, he's not going to other hotels, don't you feel like the majority of guys are going to do that? Maybe to a man, they mostly will? Because, again, you've agreed to do it. Why break the rules once you're down there?
Well, look, I have no idea how it's going to play out because we're talking about 375 players spread out over three different hotels. Who are accustomed to, you know, in some cases, very lavish lifestyles, you know, pretty good quality of life, living at home in large houses and, right, you know, free to be around their family and kids, right? And this is not going to be that type of situation. It's going to be a much more restrictive environment. They want to have masks on these players basically at all times when they're in public, other than when they're actually playing. They're going to be social distanced throughout, you know, their time off the court in terms of, you know, recreational activities like cards and watching movies. I mean, even in those situations, they want these guys spread out a little bit. They're not going to be able to partake in the typical post-game meal where usually we see the nice buffet spreads in the locker room. Well, that's not going to be part of the game there. It's going to be individualized meals, right, where you're basically not sharing food with others. And then it's also going to be a situation where they're going to go back after games to shower in the hotel rooms, right? So it's going to be very different from their usual routines, but these guys have a lot of motivation to buy in. Of course, there's, you know, millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars collectively at stake for the players to earn back that salary by playing. But there's also this idea that it only takes one weak link to kind of ruin it for everybody, and that's right, a pretty intense peer pressure. Who wants to be the guy who gets right positive and ruins this thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, we're talking to Ben Golliver, covers the NBA for the Washington Post. On Instagram last night, Ben, Justice Winslow, who has yet to make his debut for the Memphis Grizzlies, posted an Instagram story and said, this ish ain't even about basketball or our safety anymore. All about the Benjamins, baby. Not sure if they really care if we get Corona. FOH. And he tagged the NBA and he tagged the NBPA. And I bring up Justice just as a, I mean, do you think there will be guys, you know, on a big level that opt not to play?
Well, first of all, let me parse his statement. He's right on the money side. Look, they're bringing 22 teams down there. They're trying to put as much product as possible on television. They didn't need to bring those extra six teams. They could have just gone straight to the playoffs. They're playing all these extra regular season games. They had a lot of choices, and the model that they came up with absolutely was intended to maximize revenue. I think the important thing to point out there is the NBA is in a financial crisis right now. I mean, Adam Silver said, like, They got no revenue coming in. They don't know when they're going to be able to have fans in the stands. It might not happen next year at all. And so they're in a situation where they're feeling a lot of pressure to keep this sport going and to keep the connections with the fans. So you can understand that standpoint. I agree with him on that. In terms of not caring about the player safety, I would push back on that. I mean, we're already seeing guys go out there, play 5-on-5 pickup in different, you know, unauthorized summer leagues. You know, we're seeing guys get warmed up here before they report to their teams. That is much riskier behavior to just do that in an empty gym with hundreds of fans watching as compared to being on the Disney World campus where you're going to have all this tiered access, very few people having the ability to come into contact with players, you know, the mask, the social distancing that I mentioned earlier. I think if you're trying to play basketball, we know all these guys want to hoop during the summer. That's just how it is. They've been doing it their whole life. I think the Disney World environment is going to be a safer environment than just about anywhere else that you can imagine. And I'd say this, if the government had come up with health and safety protocols for all of us back in March that were as strict as the NBA's protocols, we'd probably be in better shape as a society. We'd probably have fewer people who are getting sick and dying from this thing. So I do think there's a balance between money and safety here, and I think the NBA has struck the right balance. In terms of your question on, you know, will guys sit out, we've already seen a few people, you know, with injuries essentially saying, I'm not going to show up down there. I think that could be a common thing. If you have a couple teams who are outside the playoff chase, let's say their guys play the first couple games, those teams lose. You know, potentially they're in a situation where they just might pack it up and go home early, sort of like a summer league thing. We've seen that before in Las Vegas. But like I said, I expect the vast majority of guys to be down there. You know, the money incentive is strong for the players. And it's also an opportunity to really get through your protest message as well. We're right. talking about hours of national television games every single night for 3 straight months with no other sport. I mean, if you have anything to say, that's the time and place to say it.
Well, that's the part that Kyrie has to know, too, no matter where you are on that. Now, I'll throw this scenario at you, Ben. You tell me what. But if you did have multiple players on one team, say if it even got a couple of staff members on that one team with it, is this going to be a deal you think? You mentioned that financial crisis and trying to avoid it. If it's just on that team, they slide them out like you slide a UFC fighter in a fight off the card? Or is that a situation where you've got to seriously look at shutting the whole thing down?
Well, they're going to try like heck to not shut the whole thing down. So they've expanded the rosters up to 17 players per team, right? So if you do test positive, you have to go into isolation basically for 2 weeks. So that could be a full playoff series, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's any player who tests positive. Now, they're going to be doing all sorts of proactive measures to try to prevent guys from spreading it sort of asymptomatically. In other words, they don't want someone who's sick but doesn't know to infect five other people, right? So they're going to be using different technology to try to avoid that as best they can. But there will be a strict isolation. If you test positive, it doesn't matter if you're a superstar in the NBA Finals. You're not going to get to play. You have to go off to the side and sit out. There will be kind of replacement players on the team with that extra expanded roster to kind of take your place. Now, the worst case scenario here is, let's say a team gets like 10 or 12 guys all testing positive. That's going to be a situation where the NBA is going to have a real decision. Is that a forfeit, right? Or is that a situation where you have to try to pause that team's games for a little bit? They're not going to have a ton of flexibility on the schedule based on everything else. So it could get tricky there. But my guess is, you know, a few positive tests here and there is not going to slow this thing down.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Ben Golliver, covers the NBA for the Washington Post. What's your guidance, man? We got an email from the Grizzlies last night. They invited us, not to the bubble, but to FedEx Forum to watch and cover it from the auxiliary sitting there, and they're still working through how many that could end up being. What's your guidance in terms of, you know, as a national NBA columnist, how you're going to cover this thing?
Well, we're waiting on the NBA to open applications for media that want to live in the bubble. As far as I understand it, if you want to go in the bubble, you've got to be in basically for 3 months.
Wow.
You know, it's something that we've talked about internally at the Post.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show, Monday at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.